Monday morning, everybody. Welcome on into today's Freight News Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix. It's Monday, so we are talking all things retail in CPG with the one and only Grace Sharkey. Grace, thanks for being here this morning, calling in on what is, I assume, an Apple device.
Actually, no. We use ThinkPads, but I wish it was an Apple device. I could. I've got this beautiful new iPhone that I just got a couple of weeks ago. So as always, I'm a blue texter, and I'll be a blue texter probably till I die. They've got me good.
You know what, Cody, in the back room, he's an Android user and we still make fun of him for it. So, you know, at least you're not on the receiving end of that vitriol. Let's talk a little bit about Apple, because today that is the subject of the stockout and all the news about their new decisions with their suppliers. Interesting choices by Apple to cut some suppliers with the intention of looking like they're doing good, but it might not be as good as we think.
Yeah, so about this time every year, Apple will come out with its the past year kind of review of their supplier review, because they do have to actually do a third-party review, especially when it comes to their high-risk mineral suppliers. It came into effect in 2012 in the SEC. There's a number of different, they call three T's, tin, tantalum, tungsten, and gold, which is technically four, but still, I'm not arguing with the SEC today. And so in order to report that to the SEC, you do have to use a third party. This is, of course, their way of going through all of their suppliers, what they've done over the past year to become more ESG-focused, environmental sustainability, right? All those great things. It turns out they cut about 14 different smelters and refineries across the world that they're working with. And since 2019, they've cut ties with about 25 total manufacturers who haven't lived up to their standards, and about, it looks like 231 suppliers as a whole. So, of course, we all know, if you've checked out, actually, I want to show a picture real quick. A while back, Octavia Spencer was in a really fun commercial with them, where she played Mother Earth, right? And Tim had to go through and explain exactly what they're doing to become carbon neutral. Their goal is to be carbon neutral by 2030, so 6 years from now, not too far away at all. They've really focused on that goal. There's a lot of areas they say that they're already, especially within their own offices and their own structure, definitely on their way to be carbon neutral by that time. And since 2013, a big area of this too is fresh water and how they use water throughout their supply chain. They've had about 76 billion gallons of fresh water saved since 13, and about 12 billion gallons have been reused as well. So, and they look at it as not just, right, a responsibility back to Earth, but a responsibility as a humanitarian issue. So, of course, like I said, they come out about this time of the year with their special report on how they are focusing on those initiatives amongst their supply chain. And it's actually interesting. I mean, to pull out, well, let's do the positives really quick. To show a kind of what I think is cool and in the right direction of the humanitarian guidelines is they have their supplier employment development fund. If you read through the report, I will say, as someone who, you know, reads a lot of press releases and sees a lot of marketing, a lot of pages of fluff, I will say that. But it's interesting, they have put $50 million towards their development funds. The work of that goes to teaching new skills of the people within their supply chain, especially teaching them and understanding their own labor laws and preparing them for the future. I think about 4.6 million have been educated through that system so far, and about 7 million employees since 2008 have been helped through their different programs to develop a little bit more within the employee structure within their total supply chain. I think basically what they're saying, especially on the labor rights, is a lot of these people don't even understand the rates that they have going into maybe some of these manufacturers. So at least they're, from this perspective, from their perspective, from their reporting, they're trying to focus on that area as well.
I think that it's interesting to see Apple making these choices and continuing to say, hey, we're really working on this ESG, but it's not necessarily as, I guess, forward stepping as we think that it is, right? A lot of these ESG goals are pretty lofty, And all these big companies say, okay, we're going to work to make these goals, but we're also going to take these like little bitty steps so we can say, hey, we're working towards our ESG goals, at least in some capacity. I want to talk a little bit about this decision to cut their suppliers and what it means for their geographic mix, because we're in this space where we continue to talk about nearshoring and reshoring. And with Apple doing this, you would think, okay, we're starting to move away from China and away from Hong Kong manufacturers and back into the United States. That's not actually the case, as we can see by this chart here. Their growth between China and Hong Kong suppliers, and of course, this is done by headquarters, not necessarily by where they're actually sourcing these materials from, which is a key point on this chart. But China to Hong Kong actually grew by, it looks like, maybe like 5 basis points, it looks like, within the last year.
1,000%. This is where the critics really start to point this stuff out. And it's interesting because you brought this up a little bit too. Like when you read through this report, we see a lot of the stuff in the space that we both work in. A lot of it is we're working towards. These are the things that we're hoping for, and not so much what exactly is being done. So to see statistics like that you just pulled up, I think is huge. They are using more, of course, Chinese headquartered suppliers, which, again, do some of those headquarters, are they in different countries, but are the actual locations they're manufacturing from in China? That's a question, right? And they're actually using less, though, from Taiwan, US, Japan, and South Korea. They're up to about 52 different headquarter companies. I think 84% of those facilities, though, are in China. So, yeah, you're 1,000% right. The statistics maybe look a little bit better, but we all know data. You got to look for the asterisks, maybe, and the asterisk is right there showing you that just because they might be headquartered there doesn't mean they're still somehow tied to China in some type of way. Now, I will say, right, they are moving a little bit more into different geographies. I think there's multiple reasons for that. Vietnam itself has surged about 40% for them over the years. And they're looking to invest about $250 million more into a Singapore campus as well. Thailand actually grew a third, and it's becoming, but this is where I think things get interesting because, right, we start to get into the structure and the infrastructure of these countries as well. A big part of why Thailand is growing is because Vietnam is having a hard time keeping up with not only the labor constraints that they're being put on, but even just down to the electricity needs that these companies need. So, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're having some of those issues even within China itself. But it is growing its footprint. It's focusing more on India, which I think is great, and more in these Southeast Asia countries. But that's not just because they're, they are a growing company. They are finding more gadgets for us to buy. That doesn't mean that because they're getting a bigger footprint in different areas, that they're not, of course, still relying heavily on China as well. They've also increased their research and development labs too. So China isn't out of the question at all for Apple.
You know, Grace, I would love to see a study on how many people have at least one Apple product in their product menagerie, I would say, whether that's an iPad or an Apple Watch or your iPhone or a Mac or even an Apple TV, right? If somebody has at least one Apple product in their ecosystem or has had one Apple product in their ecosystem, I'm willing to bet that it's the majority of the population. And that's why we will continue to see Apple with their dominance despite their goals. Let's talk about the episode coming up this afternoon of The Stockout. You and Mike Bowden are still together. What are you guys chatting about?
I'm excited. It's going to be a good episode. Of course, we got some CPG updates we're going to get into, but we've got a special guest with us. Brynn Ladd is coming on the show to talk about, of course, retail and the supply chain trends that he's seeing. If you know him, if you know his content, he's very direct and he will say exactly what he thinks. And there are usually some hot takes in there too. Just incredibly knowledgeable on the space as well. So I'm excited to have him on, see what trends he's getting most excited for. It should be a really fun discussion between the three of us.
So make sure that you tune into that. And that'll be this morning coming up at 10:30. And if you haven't checked out the brand new Stockout newsletter that you get in your inbox every week, make sure that you do that because you're going to get a special discount code for Future of Supply Chain that's only good for the next 2 weeks. So get in those tickets before you can't save a little bit of money. Grace, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Kaylee.